especially many churches in your country. We know that as preachers, that when you preach the word, it's exciting when people are receiving the word. And it's encouraging. But my struggle every time I preach, when people do not like to hear and do not receive the word, just like you are preaching on the wall. And that's what's going on in many churches. That's why Christianity is really going down in your country, because only few nowadays are really excited to hear what the Word of God and what God has something to say. I appreciate you for receiving the Word and taking out by faith. And again, there's no hope in this world outside from the book. There's no hope in a Christianity outside from this book. If you'll not give our heart to this book, my friend, there's no hope in our Christianity. Only the Word of God that can bring revival. Amen? Only the Word of God is the hope of America. Outside from this book, there's no hope in this country. There's no hope in this world. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Go ye and preach the word." Amen. Preach the gospel. In the book of Nehemiah tonight, I want you to see a man was truly used by God. And I want you to see something also tonight. And it's my prayer that God will use this to really encourage us, especially in our service in the work of the Lord. Now chapter 1, look in chapter 1. And in verse 2, verse 3, for the sake of the time, the Bible says, in verse 3, "And they said unto me, who told Nehemiah?" Three men in verse 2 came and reported to him, just coming from Jerusalem, then reported to him in verse 3, "And they said unto me, look, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." That is the report. And this man that came from his own city brought this report and told him what's going on. And Nehemiah, after hearing that, look in verse 4. And that's what I will draw your heart tonight. Verse 4. "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept." I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, look at the word, and prayed before the God of heaven. Two preaching that I've been preaching to you for the last, for two times, still related what I'm trying to tell you tonight. My friend, listen to me. God will not break your heart to do something for God unless you hear and you see the need. Amen. So now, Nehemiah heard what's going on and what happened to his own beloved people. After hearing the things that afflicted him, things that drew him closer to God, is the things what he heard from this man. Oh, I'll draw your attention tonight. I gotta tell you tonight. I want you to open your eyes. What's going on in America? You will not spend time in prayer. You will not fast. You are not willing to pay the price
unless you are moved and being and break in your heart for the need of your country. Amen. Let us pray. Father, please help me. Again, I feel that I am crippled. I'm nothing. But I know your Holy Ghost has the power. Please give me that liberty and freedom and boldness to preach the truth. Father, I pray tonight, please give us what we need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. To study the whole background, the whole passage, as we know, Jerusalem is a shambles, and the gates of the city are burned. The famous walls are reduced from their former beauty to heaps of rubbish. The defenseless city is inhabited by a few Jews who are prey to the inner invader, whom he come against the city. And the city was destroyed by Babylonian soldiers in the year 586 BC. And its defenses were destroyed. And its beautiful temple built by Solomon was destroyed for the worship of Jehovah and was desecrated. Listen to me. It was at that point, it was at that time that God spoke to the heart of the man of God for the need of the country. I am praying that God may call and open your eyes to see the wall of America is broken and your temple, my friend, is destroyed. As I think of America for many, many years, I had a lot of respect to America. For over 100 years, our country has been in the hands of Spaniard people for over 100 years. And America saved us from the hands of Spaniard people. During World War II, without an American soldiers, our country has been in the hands of the Japanese people. And again, it's America that saved us from the hands of Spaniard people. After World War II, the General Douglas MacArthur came back to America and made a strong campaign and said, send Bibles to the Philippines, send missionaries to the Philippines. Now they are free. And many went. And after about 10 years, many missionaries went to the mission field and came back to America and made a campaign to print Bibles and give Bibles into the hand of this Catholic people. And now we got Christianity in America. We owe a lot to America. I have a lot of respect to American Christians, because every time I see somebody, an American, a speaker standing in our church preaching the word of God, I say, my soul, what a blessing as an American, because they got the true Christianity from the book. Amen. That's what I knew America before. But now, as I think, America is no longer the way I think America was. When I think of America right now, I think of 70% Americans who do not believe in absolutes. When I think of America now, I think of 2 out of 5 children who do not live with their biological father. When I think of America, I think of 270,000 students right now, even more than that, carrying their guns in a public school. When I think of America right now, I think how every 64 seconds a baby is born to a teenage mother. As I think of America, I think of a nation that slaughtered an innocent babies over 3 million a year. Make me sick. Here you are crazy. When you do fishing, you need to get a license. When you hunt the deer, you need to have a license. Because when you do that without a license from the government, they'll put you in the jail. But you legalize the mothers to slaughter their babies. Make me sick. I don't know if you heard that. There was a mother down in Florida, aborted her twins at the age of 11 months old in her belly. 11 months, twin. How in the world you can afford to do that? Make me sick to think about that. Friends, that is America now. I am a foreigner in your country. Me and my wife, we're always talking. We have to pray when we get home. We don't know in the highway, the shopping mall, in the airport, the tourists, me, stronger bombs and all these things. When you think America is the country right now in the world, the most dangerous country in the world. Let me ask you tonight, Nehemiah said, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted. Let me ask you, when was the time you cried unto God for your country? When was the time you cried out unto the Lord? And made a strong prayer and fasting that somehow the sovereign God that founded this country can turn the people back to God. When was the time that you cry out unto God and cry for America? I always see this. We have so big mouth criticizing the politicians, but we are not doing our job as Christians to pray for the country. Amen. We have a bad attitude with these corrupt politicians. But you do not do your part. Being commanded by God. In Romans chapter 13, Christians are commanded to pray for our government. Can I tell you something tonight? There's no hope for America. I mean, listen, there's no hope in the White House for America. There is no hope in these politicians that's running to be your president. There's no hope. There's no hope in these people that are trying to entice you to believe them. The hope is God. It is in your heart. Can I tell you something? There's no hope. Whoever will stand and run the country, there's no hope. I promise you, there's no hope. Hey, listen to me. For the first time, I praised the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not Pentecostal, but I said, Lord, thank you for giving me such a president in my country. We voted a mayor, just ordinary poor mayor, not even in Metro Manila area, from down south. Now he is the president. He slaughtered over 5 1,000 drug lords and drug addicts in our country for two months period. Since the time he took over the office, his campaign is to stop drugs and corruptions. I think your country needs to learn from him. Now he is being criticized by United Nations, by New York Times. He said, mind your own business and solve your own problems. You got your own problems. I promise to God and I promise to the Republic that I will stop drugs and corruption in our land. My friend, I'm thankful to God for that. You know what? If you are really a Christian, you should consider that your Christianity is not only in this four corner of this building. God commanded you as a Christian, as an American, in the entire land, in the whole world. A very simple guy, Nehemiah, was one of the captives that went to Babylon. He was with his own people, with the suffering of his people, with the abuse of the king of Babylon. And there were three that came out from Jerusalem and reported to him what happened. And the Bible says, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. Preaching, what do we need in order for us to be touched for the need of our country? Amen. What we gonna do? What will be our part? Because listen to me, in every time there is a crisis, every time, just like this, the wall was broken, the temple of God was burned, and the gates was burned. Every time there is crisis in the country, there is countries in the nation, my friend, God will always call his own people to protect his own work. It's not an accident that God put you in this church. It's not an accident, my friend, that God saved you. He has a purpose for your life. Amen. Amen. And here is a man. Preacher, then what we gonna do for our country? Preacher, what we gonna do? Number one, my friend, you must ask the Lord a vision, because blessings of vision will become a reality if you just ask a vision from God. I believe that every worthwhile ministry is a vision of someone's heart before it becomes reality among men. A God-inspired vision becoming a reality in life always brings great joy to each one who conceives and shares it and works to realize it. What a blessing if God, as you ask the Lord, and God will give you the vision and help you to fulfill that vision. Everybody will just thrill to be a part to fulfill that vision, to make it into a reality. Amen. Preacher, what do you mean what you're talking about? We've been a Christian for a long time. Christian, what you're doing for your broken wall? Preacher, I've been a member for a long time. What you're doing for the burning? Your wall is broken and the gates is burned and the temple of God is destroyed. What you're going to do? You need to ask God. You need to come to God to break your heart. You will not, listen to me now, you will not
do anything for the work of God unless your heart is broken. Amen. Preacher, then what? What do we need? Number one, godly concern or concern is the basis of vision. I mean, spiritual vision arises only where there is spiritual concern. Nehemiah had a vision of restored Jerusalem. In his heart, he could see the walls rebuilt and the gates replaced and the city defended again. He had that vision because he was grieved over the condition of his people, over the condition of his country. Listen, vision arises out of spiritual concern. That's why Nehemiah's heart was broken. Can you picture Nehemiah tonight? Three men came up to him and reported to him that the wall was broken and the gates were destroyed and the temple of God and the people were in great reproach. The Bible says, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted. Listen to me now. After hearing that, God just broke his heart. And he prayed hard unto the Lord. He said, Lord, what can I do here, Lord? Lord, what can I do here? He prayed and cried. He was so broken. While he was praying and being broken, right away in his spiritual eyes, he had that vision that he will go back and rebuild the wall and replace the gate and rebuild the temple of God to worship the living God while he was kneeling and crying. Amen. Can I tell you something tonight? God will not reveal himself in your soul strongly what to do for him unless your heart is broken. As I mentioned it to you, that your country is accountable to God of slaughtering 3 million plus innocent babies. Make me sick. People here just don't care about the things of God. Preacher, our people are hard. This morning I was so surprised. I got this man here retired from the university. And every morning me and my wife do the exercise. Why I plan to live longer? Amen. I just love to exercise. We play tennis. Don't ask me the score today. One time my wife giving me 0 score. Don't ask me the score today, okay? You have good time. But we were looking at, that's why that Wilson family, that couple came 2 times already. Just our friendship there and talking about the Lord. And this guy here that I was about to, our first meeting, he's so nice to me. He's retired professor in university. And I came up to him one time and said, sir, what church are you attending? No. Do you believe in God? No. I'm atheist. I just worship the creation around. It's a beautiful country right here. That's why. After I retired, I buy a house here and just enjoy life here. I can worship the creation here. Excuse me? If there is a creation, who is the creator? Okay. You should remember We do exercise because we plan to live longer. May I ask you, if death may come in your life, your immortal soul, that's the thing that you're going to face God. Whether you believe it or God, you will face the Creator. I don't know. For over a month of working on him, I'm surprised today. He said, "Preacher, no, I know you're going home. Tell you something. I have something to give you." He said, "My son, blah, 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 blah." And he confessed it to me. I feel so bad. My son is being nurtured by the terrorist in our country, in our university here. And now he is in Europe training people how to destroy America. Many Christians have no idea that your government is just strengthening your enemies. I told him this morning, "Can I tell you something, sir? You find out, you're an educator, you find out in your internet that right now the terrorist camp in Nevada, in the desert place, they have a good camp there training their own people how to slaughter Americans." "Yes, I know that." "You find that out in your computer. It's there." My question is, why your government just do nothing? Practically, they are just giving your people to the enemies. Scare me. We don't care so much in our time. We are old. But how about your grandchildren? How about the young ones? My friend, this thing, we must wake up and be broken of the need of the hour. We need to get hold of God and come down and break our heart the way he broke the heart of Nehemiah for the need of his own country. If I am so disturbed of what's going on in your country, shame on you. You're American. You don't care. You just don't care. Preacher, then what we gonna do? Look what Nehemiah did. He was broken. He prayed. That's what you need. You don't need fancy programs of the church. All you need is God to break your hearts to see the need. God just broke his heart. He cried. He was crying. And before he stood up of that certain time of praying and fasting, it's very clear in his mind that this is what I'm going to do. As you study chapter 2, as you know the work of Nehemiah, he was the cupbearer of the king. For many, many years being the cupbearer of the king, your job as a cupbearer in the kingdom, your number one job is to make the king happy every time you serve him a drink or a food. When you have that position in the kingdom, you're the most trusted man in the kingdom, because before the king will drink the drinks, you will be the first one first to drink, to see to it that the foods and the drinks that you're giving to the king is safe. So while he was serving, the king noticed him and he said, "Excuse me, Nehemiah. What's going on you, my son? How in the world? You've been here. in the kingdom serving me for so many years. You're always happy. I always hear you singing Amazing Grace. I always hear you singing a good spiritual song and make me happy. How in the world this morning you look so sad? What's the problem, son? Nehemiah was so scared to death to open his mouth and tell the king what God has given him as a vision and a burden for his own people. Because he is the same king that captive the Jewish people and abused in Babylon. But because it was a God given vision and God break his heart and so the need, he could hardly open his mouth and he said, King, how I can be happy? How I can be happy when my people are in great reproach? When the temple of God for the worship of the Jehovah God is destroyed? How I can be happy when the wall is destroyed? How I can be happy when the gates is burned? I hope that's your concern tonight. How you can be happy as Christian if that is what's going on around in your country? I hope that would break your heart. I hope that would bother you and disturb you. And I hope you'll come to the Lord. What you can do for your country. God touched the heart of the king. And the king said, son, listen to me. Listen to me. What I can do for you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. What I can do for you. When Nehemiah heard that question, he was almost ready to jump on the air and shout amen. Because to him, that is an answered prayer. Because to him, that is now the reality of his vision. Because to him, that is now the fulfillment of God in his life to obey the plan of God of his life. Can I tell you something tonight? That is the thing that we need in order for us as our life as Christian will be most usable for the work of God. And he opened his mouth. He said, sir, praise the Lord. Listen to me, you know what I need. First, give me permission to go back to my land. Amen. And he said, sir, give me a written authority that I can cross the border and also cut the timber. And also, sir, please give me also soldiers that would behind me and follow me and just so that no one would touch me while I'm going back to my land. Guess what? Everything he requested before the eyes of the king and the kings, and the king said, son, everything you requested is approved. Amen. When God gave you something, when you open your heart, he is the same God that will fulfill what he is telling you to do. And that is a God of the book. And that is the God that I'm preaching to you. Exciting. Amen. Amen? That's exciting. That's why since the time I give my life in the work of the Lord, I'm just excited to see every day that, you know, in our ministry, how God bless. So that is what we need, my friend. So then, concern and spiritual concern. And then second thing, my friend, the thing that would be happening. Again, let me emphasize to you, prayer. Prayer is the sanctifying content in a vision. If it is God-given vision, if it is God-leading ministry, you have no choice, but you have to moist it in prayer. Amen. Prayer. Prayer. The man of God makes his vision for the work of God a matter of sincere prayer. Nehemiah was not only concerned, but he prayed. In fact, we can see here three divisions of his prayer. First, he confessed the sin of his own people, verse 5 to 7. Verse 2, he claimed God's faithfulness to his promises as a basis for hope. That is verses 8 to 10. And then also, he called upon God for help before the Persian king, that he would be influenced to do things that God put in the heart of Nehemiah. Such a prayer took all selfishness or desire of self-benefit out of Nehemiah's heart. Prayer always sanctifies our vision. I will say that again. Godly, spirit-led prayer, listen to me now, will take away selfishness in your heart. You know why God is not working? We are not willing to give up our selfishness. Listen to me now. Being trusted in the kingdom, that's an awesome, special position and influence. But because he listened to God, and God gave him the vision, and God broke his heart, he was willing to turn his back from that self-benefits because he was willing to sacrifice to serve the Lord for his own people. Amen. I think you got a problem there. You American Christians, you are spoiled brat Christians. Can I remind you a little bit? Let me remind you here a little bit. Did you remember that year when you had revival in your land? During that time, they do not have fancy cars. Many of those people just ride on wagons and their horses. Many of them, I studied that during when revival took place in your country. Many of these people drive their wagon and ride their horses 3 to 4 hours just to hear and attend meetings and preaching time. Amen. You got God the time. You have a wonderful time, and that's how God started blessing your land. Now, you have a nice home. People are not here. They cannot give up their television. People can drive a nice car, but yet no appetite to hear the word of God. Why? Materialism in America is killing Christianity. Listen to me now. Listen to me. I'll give you the warning. If you study the nation of Israel, every time they got a godly king and followed the leadership of God, God always blessed them. When they do not follow God, God will always get their attention by sending curse. Can I tell you something tonight? America is under the curse of God. Cancer is a curse of God. Rebellious young people are cursed. The more we have high technology in our medical thing, the more sicknesses and illness cannot be solved. When God sent the curse, no one can stop. Amen? Amen. And I said to myself, why, America? Wait until hard judgments will come and turn back to God. You can come back to God now and enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. You can have all the blessings of God right now if you want to. Why we allow God to give us a hard time and come back to God? We can come back to God. In fact, this Babylonian captivity is a judgment of God upon the nation of Israel because they have been so hard-headed in following the voice of God. But can I tell you something? In the midst of this crisis and these turmoils, He'll always call somebody to fulfill the plan of God, as well as in the midst of this, God has always a few remnants that will be continuing and faithful in doing the work of God. I hope tonight, as we close this service tonight, you'll come out from your bench and say, Lord, I want to get hold of you. You are the same God that did in the heart of Nehemiah. You can still rebuild a wall and replace the gate and send revival in our church. You are the same God that can do the same. But I've got to get right with you. You have to come to the Lord and get hold of God. He is the same God. We must be humble enough before the Lord. That's been a long time. We are not willing to give up ourselves. One thing that God is asking you tonight, I cannot bring revival. I just preach the word here. I do not want you to think that I have something to bring. No, we're just saying, but it's up to you. You know what you need now? Lord, the word of God is true. I'm selfish. My heart is not broken for the need of my land. Amen? Amen. I am not willing to give up my comfort. I am not willing to give up my self-interest for the sake of the work. Tonight, God can replace the gate. God can rebuild the wall. God can rebuild the temple that's been destroyed. God can rebuild your broken heart. God can rebuild your broken homes. God can rebuild your broken country. But it takes Nehemiah to submit unto the Lord and willing to be used of God. Would you count yourself tonight to be such? You just submit to God. If you will not submit to God, nothing would be happen. So I hope God already speaking to you. Let us pray. Precious loving Lord, thank you so much for giving us this perfect picture of what you can do a man like Nehemiah, when we listen and open our eyes to see the need. God, you know, I told and give warning to these dear American Christians in this particular church that their wall is broken. Their gates are burned. The temple of God is destroyed. Our churches is lukewarm. We have so many empty pews. Christians have no interest no more about the things of God. Lord, thank you that in spite of this crisis, in spite of the hour, you are the same God that can work in our heart and can do the same thing the way you did in the heart of Nehemiah. God, I'm calling you right now. Give us that humble heart and submissive heart unto you. Lord, there are many of these people here already here supporting this meeting Sunday night and Monday night, and now it's Tuesday night. They are here because they want to listen to you and obey you. I pray, oh God, that you will count them like one of the Nehemiahs for the sake of their country. Oh Father, I pray that they would come for the sake of their country, for the sake of their family, for the sake of their children and grandchildren. God, please, please help us to submit unto you. Father, this is my prayer. I ask all these things, blessed invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. I ask all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.